All right. I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May His peace and grace and mercy be upon each and every one of you as you endeavor to seek after Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Lord. Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us, Lord, this day our daily bread, our daily needs, Father. Lord, we pray that You would help us, Father, that You would forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, that Your power and glory and kingdom would come upon this earth. We thank You again for Your goodness and Your mercy. In Jesus' name. Well, I again just want to extend greetings to you and mercy and kindness that the Lord has bestowed upon us. It's a real blessing to be here to meet with you this morning, first time in this building. Some people, you know, we sometimes call it a church, but we know that the church is not a building. One of the people said, one of the people commented and said, they saw we had a building going up, but it looked pretty small. And just thought about that a little bit, and I thought, you know, most people have huge buildings and big cathedrals, and they call them the church, but they have to make a big display because that's where their hope is. And our hope is certainly not in a building, but it's just a place for us to gather together and meet together. And I just thought about it's been a year since the old building burned down, and you know, I just thought about it, and I thought, you know, I don't know that anybody even shed a tear, hardly, or part of the body that was about a building burning down. You know, it's just something to move on. It's just a blessing. Just first of the year here, reflecting a little about the past year or so, and been a lot of things happened. There's been a major attack on the church, people trying to take over what the church is, and just trying to deceitful people trying to take over what we believe we found as the church, and many simple being led astray by that. And been a year of often confounding and confusing times, and just the building burning down. We've been through a few trials this year, but we believe the church, the Bible says the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And we know that's a charge forward. It's not a defensive measure, and the church marches through, and hell can't stop it. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. Brother Kevin had written a poem. I don't think he's got it, but he had brought out the thought that Christ Christ couldn't remain in the grave because goodness always triumphs. Goodness always triumphs. Evil is all around us, but goodness triumphs. And it can't be stopped. It can't be put down because God is good. And that's just a real blessing. We've talked about that. And turn your Bibles to John chapter 17. This is This is truly the Lord's Prayer. A lot of times we refer to the one in Matthew as being the Lord's Prayer. That's simply teaching us how to pray, how we should pray. But this is the prayer of the Lord. John chapter 17. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life." This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. A lot of times we hear about eternal life, and we think it, we look at it as a gift. Somebody just bestowing upon us, okay, now you have eternal life. Here's your gift. You're going to live forever. You have eternal life. That's what we're taught. That you say a prayer, you ask Jesus into your heart, and boom, you've got eternal life. And no one can ever take that away from you because it's eternal. It's eternal life. If you have it, it can't be taken away. But the truth is that eternal life is a way. It's God. It is the thing that cannot die because of what it is, not because it's a gift that you receive. What Christ came to offer is eternal life to human beings. He came to give us this life that cannot die, because it's eternal. Not because it's just something stamped upon you that you can't die anymore. It's because the way of what it is, the goodness that will always exist. Sin and death and ugliness and badness will all be done away. It's death. It's the way of death. And it will all be put away because there's no life in it. But eternal life, what Jesus spoke to us, eternal life is life because of the character, because of what it actually is. That's why we have eternal life. It's not just because Jesus died and rose again and we believe that. It's because the words that he spoke to us, if we will hear them and apply them to our lives, we will be given a life. We will obtain a life. We'll take on a life that cannot die. That's eternal life. That's the goal. That's what God wants from us. We're not just going to be put in heaven because we said a prayer or did something and just going to be there wandering around, maybe not even belonging. We're going to be there because we've heard this life and we've applied our life to it. And the life we've now obtained, even though it is a gift, but we've obtained it because we took hold of it and we applied it to our lives, so that when we get to heaven, our life will not die. It can't die because of what it is. The wages of sin is death. The way of righteousness, this mystery of righteousness, is life that cannot be taken away. It can't be put down by death. It can't be destroyed by Satan. It can't be put down. It will always rise again. That's why Jesus, whenever this world killed him, he had never yielded to that death. And this world put him to death. But it could not kill life. It could kill the body, but it could not take away his eternal life because of who he was, the life that he possessed. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifest your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They are yours, and you gave them to me, and I have kept your and they have kept your word. They kept your word. You know, we sometimes think that we keep a commandment here or there, or we try to keep a bunch of commandments, and that's what we're talking about. We're keeping his words. But that's not what he's talking about. It's more than that. It's hearing his words, keeping his word. They have kept your word. Not just the letter of the law. We can put it all down and make it a big letter, but it's the spirit of the law. It's the spirit of eternal life that Christ is trying to bestow upon us. And we get so easily sidetracked with trying to put it in a box or trying to figure it all out. It is a mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. But it's someone that actually is hearing the words that Jesus spoke. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. This, when Jesus came, he was just a man on this earth. He had no title. He had no great introduction. He was despised and rejected among men, the Bible says. But yet, when he spoke, the Bible says there's places that no man spake like this man spake. You know, a lot of people think that our authority comes because it's in this book. That's not where our authority comes from. That's not why we have found what we found. The words that Jesus spoke, like no other man spoke. In John chapter 6, it talks about, you have the words of eternal life. These 12 men, there was a whole bunch following, and these 12 men heard these words, and this group followed, and they all went away. And Jesus turned to them and said, will you go away also? There was a lot of people were offended by him. They didn't like some of the things he said as they followed, and they began to try to obtain this eternal life. And they got offended and they turned away. And Jesus looked to the 12 and he said, will you go away also? Are you going to leave too? He wasn't trying to hold them all in. He was saying, there's the door. If you don't want to be here, you can leave. Some people get offended about that. But Jesus said, you want to leave too? Go ahead. I'm not going to hold you. And Peter said, you have the words of eternal life. He didn't say, you've got the rule book of eternal life. You don't have... He didn't say, you have the book of eternal life. He didn't say, you've got the church that's got eternal life in it. You've got the temple that's got eternal life in it. He didn't say that. He said, you have the words of eternal life. Those words are true. And these men didn't know the truth because he said, yeah, right here, this book I'm giving you, it's got the truth in it. The things that he was speaking, they recognized him as being true. And he said, they said, this man has something more than every other man is speaking about. This man has words that give eternal life. Powerful words. It wasn't a trust in having truth. It was hearing the words that this man was speaking. And they heard them. Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. You have the words that can't be taken away. You have the word that though they kill this body, that though they can destroy this flesh, you have something that will last beyond that. I was meeting with one of the older men that I visit this week, and I said, well, I'll see you tomorrow. And he said, if I'm still here. If I'm still here. Well, you know, he's all crippled up and can't get out by himself hardly. So was he saying he was going to run away? And he wasn't going to be there if I showed up tomorrow? Was he just going to leave? Is that what he was saying? You know, what he was saying is my body might be here in the morning, but I might not be. I might not be. That's saying, what's he saying? That's saying, this body isn't who we are. Just like this building isn't the church. Man is a living soul. The choices that he makes, the life that he lives, is a living soul. This body, whether it be strong or weak, old or young, is just a temporary housing for who you are and for who we are. And when our soul hears the Spirit of God that has those things that bring eternal life, he gives us power to overcome this body. This body isn't important anymore. This body is just a shell, just like the church building that burned down. It didn't kill the church. The church lives on in the hearts and souls of men. The church is simply a group of people who have heard God and are walking in that Spirit, that have obtained eternal life, found the key in the heart of what it means to have the good life that never ends. It'll just go on and on as the song goes. And you and I have a soul, and we're building our soul for eternity. We're either laying up things in our souls, creating our souls, building our souls with eternal things, eternal life, things that will live forever, or we're building a foundation in our souls of destruction. One or the other. There's no in between. Jesus said in verse 11, verse 17 here, chapter 17, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. To be at one with God is to be at one with Him, just like Jesus is. We've got the idea implanted upon us that you're just given this gift of eternal life and boom, you're just going to heaven and there'll be God over there and Jesus over there and we'll be all walking around somewhere on streets of gold. But Jesus said that we will be one with Him. There are only two spirits in the world. those that are at one with God and those that are at one with Satan. This is one of the reasons we talk about not having a bunch of denominations and a bunch of different divisions. There's not a whole bunch of different little churches out there. There is one church. And we're those that are following and hearing Jesus are a part of it. We can't just divide ourselves because we disagree with someone and set ourselves up as the church. It is the church, and it's of those who are trying to follow and hear, or somebody has to go off and start up their own little deal. There isn't a whole bunch of others, that they may be one as we are one. We have fellowship one with another because we have fellowship with Christ. And it's all one thing. Whenever we're in heaven, we'll be there. We'll be there because we're at one spirit with God. We're at one with Him. Because we love our neighbor as ourselves. Because we've proven that His kingdom has come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what the church is. His kingdom, His spirit, His eternal life implanted into another human being so that it can be carried on and carried on until He returns for us. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 22. Heading on verse 10 says the final message. Let's just see what this final message that this book has. You know, I don't understand a lot of the things. Never have put a lot of emphasis on prophecy for a long time. Whenever I first started, I thought that's what you had to do is learn how to explain Revelation, and then you were a prophet. But it didn't take long to realize that just understanding this idea or set of doctrines about the book of Revelation didn't make you a prophet at all. I grew up going to churches and have prophecy meetings, and someone would get up and talk about the book of Revelation and just explain it and go back in and Daniel and explain this and that and it all, how it all fit together. And everyone looked at him with awe because they could, seems like they could make a little sense out of this. But I've learned that that doesn't make you a prophet. That doesn't make you holy just because you can explain these things. Verse 10 says, "And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near.'" This is what we can get right here. The sum up. A lot of truth. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. And the one who is filthy still be filthy. You know, this little statement right here does away with all of this nonsense about me just going to be going to heaven because I've asked Jesus into my heart. Me just going to heaven because I'm a part of this group or a part of that group. Me just going to heaven because I can understand the book of Revelation. It just does away with all of that. If there was one verse that men need to understand about this book, it's right here at the end of it. Because what's it really all about anyway? It's about when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you going to be? Is it going to be your body that stands before Him? Or is it going to be that part that we can't see in physical part that we can't see with our eyes. That part that the soul of man. We can see some of the actions of it in our lives. We can see the reactions and the ugliness sometimes. And sometimes the goodness. But we can't see the soul. We can see fruit of eternal life or fruit of damnation or death. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. And the one who is filthy still be filthy. When we die, we're going to die and continue in eternity just as we die. The one who's doing wrong, you can put him in a brand new body, in a brand new place, in a perfect place. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to still do wrong. He can have the best neighbors in the world, most godly people in the world. He can be right in the middle of the kingdom of God, of heaven itself, among the saints, people that would never do him harm. Put him right in the middle of them, and guess what? He may be able to fake it for a little while, but pretty soon he's going to do wrong. He's going to do wrong again. And he's going to do wrong again. Because that is his character. That is what's in his soul. That's who his soul is. And the one who is filthy shall be filthy still. That's where all the appearances that people can pretend to put on this outward show of being something that they're not, trying to portray this. But in eternity, we're going to be just exactly what we are. That's why there's no use hiding anything. There's no use putting on a big pretense. We are what we are. This is where we have the blessed hope. We have the opportunity to change those things. We have the opportunity to repair those things. Just like our building burned down, guess what? We got to build another one. This time we got to build one the way it's functional for us. The way we wanted to build it. We're building our souls the same way. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong. God's not going to change us. I heard a man preach one time. He said, I don't know what these people are thinking. He said, after they die, what do you think's going to change them? The worms that eat their bodies? Is that going to make them holy? Absolutely not. Because that's just that body. It's our soul that God came to repair. And He came and spoke the words of eternal life. That if we would actually hear them and apply them to our hearts and souls, we would gain that eternal life. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy. When we die, we're not going to convince Christ that we're something we're not. Everything will be revealed. We're going to stand before the Lord, and He's going to just take away all the facade and look down at our hearts. And see, well, you had a good appearance, but you're full of filthiness. Or he's going to see, well, sometimes you didn't have that great of appearance. He wasn't too impressive to the world, but you were righteous. You were holy. And that holiness will be said, well done, enter into my kingdom that was prepared for you. The place that was prepared for you. The point is we are building. The song says building, building every day. Our building, what kind of building are we building? Is it a building that we're trying to have a church that appears perfect to everybody? And we keep all the rules and all right. Is that what we're building? Are we building ourselves? Building our souls? And we come and meet with other people building our souls. And our concern isn't about, well, that person's kind of putting a black spot on my soul. Because he's not. He can't. That black spot there is because he's probably reflecting and showing you something in your soul that you don't want to see. That's what Jesus did. He came as a light into the world. And instead of hearing that light and seeing it and just following, they begin to see, oh, he's showing me my black spots. I hate him. We need to kill him. We need to get rid of him because he's showing me what's in me. That's light. Let the one who does wrong still do wrong, and the one who is filthy still be filthy. And let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness, and the one who is holy still keep himself holy. This is what it's all about. Are we hearing the words of eternal life and becoming righteous and holy? Are we living that life? Do we want to? Is that the goal? Is that the heart of what we're doing in this? Is our heart to prepare for this so that I'll have this eternal life and I'll belong in this wonderful place with other people that are doing the same thing? Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Who questions that among Christian circles? Jesus is coming soon. He's going to return soon. Makes people uncomfortable that Jesus might come at any time. Scares people. Because they don't want to meet him. They don't want to see him. My reward is with me. We believe that. And then it says to render to every man according to what he has done. Why do we throw that in the trash can? Because it don't fit our theology. Jesus is going to reveal and see every man according to what he's done. According to how he lives. I don't know how to explain all of the theology. But I do know that Jesus said that he's going to render to every man according to his own deeds and to how he's lived. Why? Because that's who we are. How does that all take place? I don't know. I just know that I have a choice between right and wrong. I have a choice to make in my life. I can either hear the words of eternal life and pursue after them, or I can do my own thing. I can appear pretty good doing my own thing. I can be unbothered doing my own thing. but you pursue eternal life, you're going to be bothered, because the enemy of our souls is trying to keep us from finding this eternal life. Evil is ever present. It's all around us, tempting, luring, calling us, trying to bring it into it, bring us back into it. But if we keep on this path like Jesus did, you can't kill goodness. You know, even all the movies and the stories, everybody loves it when good triumphs over evil. Because it does. That's what sells all these stories, because goodness triumphs. Well, it don't have to be a movie. It don't have to be a book. It don't have to be a story. Because goodness triumphs. It wins every single time without end. And wrongness dies every time without end. We may think that we've got a good motive to do evil, but evil ends. Evil dies. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Right there's goodness. This is God. The first and the last, all of this that transpires in between, He was here in the beginning and He'll be here in the end. We can either be aligned with Him, walking in this light, walking in this goodness, this mysterious righteousness. And it gets cloudy sometimes, but goodness will always triumph. We get discouraged sometimes. It seems like, just like in the movies, it seems like the dastardly guy, the evil guy has just got it all sewed up. Snidely Whiplash, I remember whenever I was little, he always had a little black mustache, he twisted, he just had it all sewed up. He had the damsel there tied to the railroad tracks and the train coming, and he's going to win, there's no way. And then here come the good guy, riding on his white horse and his white hat, just in time, gets her off of the tracks. Goodness will triumph. It appears like the devil is going to win. He just wants to have it all sewed up, all tied up, and just like it's going to all, there's no use, give up. But Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, striking fear into evil, but a comfort to those who are seemingly all tied up, ready to perish. But then along comes Jesus, and goodness wins. We're blessing just eternal life. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so they may have right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They look at that light. They come to the light and they see. And they wash those things. And are cleansed. They're washed from those things. so that they may have right to that tree of life and may enter into the gates of that city. The people who belong there. Heaven is a place where people, it's created for people who belong there. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. The Spirit and the bride say, come. What is the Spirit saying? The Spirit is saying, turn. Cleanse yourselves. Wash yourselves. Gain this eternal life. It's not saying get religious. Don't fall into that trap. He's saying, come and cleanse yourselves. What's the bride saying? Come. Cleanse yourself. Cleanse yourself. Take the responsibility for your own soul. God has a lot to offer. He has eternal life, this way of life that He's offering you. Come. The church and God have the same message. Just come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify everyone who hears the words of this prophecy, of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in the book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. His truth doesn't need spelled out and defined in our own little standard or rule book. That's adding to it. That's just as much as ignoring it. There's a curse on both of them. It's not just talking about, it's these things that He's spoken. These truths. Just take them and apply them the way they are. If you ignore them, ignore some of them, what's it say? If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. And if we add to them, we add our own opinions and our own counsels and our own whatever it takes to say, yeah, you've got to do this to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's not what the Spirit and the bride are saying. We've got to write our own little rules. This Brother Olin was at a funeral this week and somebody asked him, oh, you're down there with that church without any rules. Don't you have standards? Well, we've had standards for 400 years. That's why we're still here. They may still be here. But this book says, you add to the prophecy. You may have an existence. But you can't put the church in a box like that. And when you start adding to it to try to seal it in, God said He's going to add to your plagues. God's going to add to the plagues. There's a lot of people are trusting in their church's ability to maintain themselves for so many years. I hope that if people quit seeking God from a pure heart, they quit being thirsty, they quit wanting the truth, I hope this thing goes completely to nothing. so that it won't be a hindrance. I hope it goes completely to nothing whenever the truth is departed. If you're not seeking to cleanse your soul and to be a part of that eternal life, I don't care how secure you may seem with your church that's been here for so many years. It doesn't matter at all. Here's a promise not many people want. You don't do what Jesus says. You don't hear Him. Not just picking and choosing. You leave off that part that says you're supposed to love your neighbor. You leave off that part that you're not supposed to judge and condemn people. You leave off those parts. God will leave off your part. We can not seek after wealth. We can keep our marriages pure. We can do all of those things. We can forgive. But we just pick whichever one we want that we don't think works. Set that one aside. God will take your part out. It's not a balance. It's not an adding up game. We either have the Spirit of Christ and we're walking in that Spirit and following it. I tried all my life to try to measure up whenever I was young. Told the story about being a tree, growing all kinds of, and trying to shake all that bad fruit off. And it just kept growing. I'd shake off lust and I'd shake off something and swearing and something else would come up over here. Just kept growing and growing. And I was trying to pluck all that fruit. And then Jesus laid His axe to the root of the tree. Then I wanted to walk in light. And different fruit began to grow. And that other stuff just began falling off. I didn't want it anymore. I wanted eternal life. I wanted to lose my life that I might find it. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. I don't know what else to say other than I don't know how you can say that you can write your own set of rules to be a part of your church and get around this verse. You can add something too. Whenever I was with the Mennonites for a while and I was trying to teach the Bible in other places and they would begin to ask me why you had to do this or had to do that. And I couldn't go to the Scriptures and say, well, because Jesus said so. All I could do is say, because man said so. Because this group of men who set themselves up as being holy said so. That's adding to. That's adding to. The Bible says God will add to their plagues. Eternal life is available. And it's free to all who come. Not my way, but all who hear the Spirit of Christ and apply themselves to it. Verse 20, he who testified to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. Amen. There's a lot of different people tried to put grace in a box. Grace gives us the power grace gives us the opportunity to have this eternal life. Grace oils the wheels, oils the gears that makes it work to those who want it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Grace gives us the power and the ability. Once we seek after that and lose our lives, it gives us the power to fulfill, to seek, to gain that eternal life that's here. That gives us the power to lose our lives in this world, that we may find it. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he's done. We're all going to give an account of our own lives. We're all going to be revealed to be what we really are. Let's just pray for each other as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as we seek for this eternal life, as we love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, remembering that evil is all around us, ever waiting. As the clouds get darker towards the end of this world, I believe we're near the end of this world. And perilous times, the Bible says, will come. But that eternal life, that eternal voice is still calling those that will hear. Those that will have faith to hear it and walk in it. God's grace and mercy be upon each one of you. Lord, we thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. We just ask that you'd be with us. Help us, Lord, to be at one with you and with each other. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we go through this life. We'll be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone wants to comment, something you'd like to share?
Jesus was there quickly. Mm-hmm. He was right there, and he saw it. Uh-huh. And that's a hope as well. That's eternal. It's not bound by time. It's always there. He's there for us.
Yeah.
He's there when we. Now I'm not just trying to make it mean some philosophical thing. He's really there.
Right.
And he's there at hand. He's there quickly.
Maybe just whenever it's all hope is gone, he's quickly there.
Right. There he is.
Yeah.
And just when you think, I'm hope, it's over for me.
Yeah.
It's more than I can bear. He's there.
Amen.
There was in where it said, they wash their robes. And it referenced Revelation 7:14, I think it said, they wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And so what you mentioned about the fact that Jesus, because he was the light, like it said in John 1 there, that whenever we come into the light, our imperfections and those things that need to be changed to conform to the image of Christ are exposed to us, there's a personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. We take action. The blood is there. And today we think about throwing our clothes in a washing machine and then a dryer, so it's really easy. But in the time that this was written, washing your clothes, like many of us know, is a laborious task.
Mm-hmm.
We do it by hand. And so there's an action on our part that's required. And so the scripture doesn't say they were handed it.
Right.
It's an activity on their part that needed to be done.
Right. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Also, I have thought about the plague that he led. And, I think part of that plague is the division of what's called the church. Nobody can get along with each other. I mean, that's immediate retribution for adding two or three more.
Right. Amen. Yeah, just like taking away from, it just takes light away. It takes dark, makes it dark. And yeah, the plagues would be just adding a plague of division. Amen. Good point. All right. Well, God bless you all.
Amen.